Open lines tonight. You know, the CERN Collider goes online in Switzerland next week. We're going to keep our eyes on that. We're going to do some stories on that for you as well. There are two lawsuits going that are attempting to stop CERN from turning on the collider. The lawsuits filed by groups of scientists who are very concerned that the CERN Collider could create a black hole that could literally eat the planet from within. Truly an incredible story. So we're going to monitor that situation for you. CERN at Switzerland is supposed to go online next week. You know, about a month or so ago, I was at a conference, which I'm doing quite often lately, and I saw my first two UFOs ever. I don't know what they are. That's why they're UFOs. But I saw them through third vision, night vision goggles. And I could see these things bouncing all over the place. Ed Grimsley brought them to us, and it was just an incredible sight. I got this email from Mick in Australia, longtime Coast to Coast AM listener, George. Just purchased a Night Vision Generation 4 set over the week. Wow. I can see them. And he's got exclamation points all over the place. Well, anyways, we've got open lines, and I'm going to open up a special hotline because I want you to think about this for a moment. How often have you looked into the abyss of life? And you look there, and you had to make a decision. Whatever it was, something happened to you, something major, and you knew that if you didn't make the right decision, you'd be descending into that abyss. I'm going to give you a phone number for that hotline. It's 818-817-0021, 818-817-0021, the Abyss Hotline. Wall Street, one of my favorite movies with Michael Douglas and Charlie Sheen. I remember the scene where Hal Holbrook was talking to Bud, Charlie Sheen, when Sheen was about ready to get arrested for his improprieties on Wall Street.
Man looks in the abyss. There's nothing staring back at him. At that moment, a man finds his character. And that is what keeps him out of the abyss.
Have you stayed out of the abyss? Maybe you haven't. You've got the hotline number for just that topic. We've got open lines as well next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go with open lines. Let's pick it up by going to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Where are you calling from?
Vermont.
Great. Go ahead, sir.
I wanted to just maybe ask a question here. And this happened about 3 days ago. Me and my close friend, we were getting connected like everybody else nowadays. And we activated our webcams, and we were talking, and she asked me a question. She goes, who's the old lady? And I just kind of jokingly said, it's just me here, you know, laughing. And I kind of caught her off guard because I just recently moved into an apartment and I have a roommate, which is an older, you know, older lady. She's in her 50s, and she's actually, I just described her briefly, and I just, you know, she's an older lady. So she actually thought someone was behind me that might have been my roommate.
And you are probably thinking she's talking about the roommate.
Yes.
Okay.
And she said, well, never mind. So it kind of intrigued me. I was like, you know, was he joking, whatever, and it kind of freaked me out, honestly. And she really didn't want to talk about it. Well, just yesterday, I actually got her to talk a little bit more about it, and she said that, you know, she saw an old person that was behind me, and I said, well, how much behind me?
And how old?
Yeah, and I'm a little bit freaked out talking about it, but I said, well, how close? Like, close enough to put her arms around my shoulder, like, staying over me? And she said, yes. And that really got me.
That would freak me out. Now, obviously, though, she wasn't that hideous looking, or I think your girlfriend would have been screaming.
Well, she said that, this is the thing, she actually didn't, if she, She actually told me, and honestly, I believe there's only three people that could tell me this on this earth, and I would actually believe them, and she's one of them because she's very innocent.
How did she describe this person?
She said that she had long gray hair, and she said that the face was blurred, and this is where I caught her. Because this is like a secret of hers that she doesn't really tell anyone. She says that occasionally she actually will see spirits or whatnot every once in a while, and she says that they'll actually talk to her. This is the confusing part. Now I really do actually believe her that she, you know, this happens to her. My question, I guess, is why would it be on my end, and she's the only one that can see it.
Well, there's a couple of reasons for that, but do you have any history of this apartment complex you moved into?
To be honest, I'm actually almost afraid to, because I don't want to. I really don't want to have anything to do with this, to be honest.
And if they tell you some old lady died in the apartment you were in or something, you would really be freaked.
Well, yes and no, but I don't want. I feel like I almost feel like when I'm at the apartment that I'm possibly being, you know, watched, which oddly enough, in a way, I'm actually not as freaked out as I thought I would be. I don't think it's a hostile thing that's possibly there, but I don't want to make it seem like I'm actually, I don't know if this ghost is going around looking for something or wanting to communicate with people. And for some reason, I don't feel like I want to research into the apartment and this entity notices them doing it. So they're like, would give an incentive to like contact me, because I don't want to be contacted.
You don't want anything to do. Now, did your girlfriend say what it was doing? Was it just kind of like looming around behind you? That was it?
Just standing directly behind me.
And that was it. Okay. Not making any gestures, nothing like that.
No.
Okay.
Well, at least she didn't tell me that.
And to answer the other part of your question, there are some people, whether, you know, most people believe them or not, but there are some people out there who have an ability to see the spirits. And, you know, some of them are pretty darn good. So, you know, when you ask the question, why you, why in that place, something must have happened there some time ago. And, you know, who knows? Also, you may have some spirit that has attached itself to you. It's probably been there with you all your life. Who knows? Is your grandmother alive?
No,
grandmothers? Okay.
No, she's not.
So, you know, it could be her, you know? You could have been her precious little grandchild.
When she first told me, I kind of was said jokingly, and not to be disrespectful to my grandmother, I said, you know, it could be my grandmother, because we're very close.
Yeah.
You know, if I really thinking about it, I wouldn't have said anything like that, because I think that's disrespectful to my grandmother, because we were very close, and I would hate to think that she'd be doing better things, you know. I think she would be doing better things in her afterlife.
Yeah, well, we would hope she's already moved on.
Yes.
Exactly. What I would do, this is what I would suggest you also do, is get a picture of your grandmother, and even though you said it was somewhat fuzzy, show a picture of it to your girlfriend and see if she can recognize it at all. I would do that. Let's go east of the Rockies. Jackie in Illinois, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Jackie.
Good morning. How are you
today? I'm doing great, thanks.
A couple of questions. Excuse me. Concerning UFOs.
Okay.
The first one is, I was watching a video. They called UFOs Above and Beyond with the gentleman who used to play Scotty on the original Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he was showing different videos, well, one of them was like a clip of a UFO that was taped observing like power lines. And the first question is, are they concerned like the type of energy that we use, and have they been observing like the different power grids here in the
there have been suggestions that mm-hmm. that UFOs may be able to tap into our power grid system
mm-hmm.
and they use it for energy for their own purposes and propulsion.
Okay.
Some of the blackouts we have had over the last 30 years, the big ones, seem to have occurred when there are also UFO cases, people witnessing things. So that's one of the theories. So that's possible.
And the second one is I was wondering when you were going to have Mr. Friedman back on.
Well, we just had Stanton on a full program just a few weeks ago, but he's normally on about 3 times a year, full show. So, you know, just keep hanging in there. He'll be back. He's one of the best. Let's go to Randy in Ohio. You're up with us. Randy, go for it.
Hey, George. How you doing,
I'm
sir?
I'm doing okay.
This is Moondog from Nighthawk Zone.
Sure.
I had talked to you about 2 months ago. I was the semi-truck driver that wrecked in Louisiana.
Yeah. Is that your radio or is that some crosstalk from another radio there? Turn it down a little bit.
That's the L.A. station.
Turn that down.
My wife turned it down.
All right, there you go. Okay. Thanks.
Anyway, I want to talk to you about that wreck I had. And I was telling you that I was like, you know, I had a dream that I was standing on the side of the road and I seen it happen.
Yes, I remember that.
You remember that. Okay. You was talking about the abyss and everything. See, my dog had passed away on the 5th of November or February. The crash happened the 22nd. I was due to pick my wife up after that run, which would have been around about the 1st. And when the truck wrecked on the right side, which would have been
her side.
I think my wife would have probably died in that.
Jeez.
But all that aside, my wife, she's Mooncat on Nighthawk Zone, which, you know, I'm new at the, you know, she bought me a computer for my birthday, and I'm new at
that. It's a good group over there.
Stuff. Pardon me?
It's a good group over there.
Oh, they're great people. We call each other family. But she read me this FDA story about these drugs.
Yes.
And the blood thinner warfarin was in it.
Okay.
I've been on warfarin since 1996. I've had history of blood clots in the left and right lung.
Is it working for you?
Well, it's I get it tested once a month now. It's actually been correct about 10 times in the last 12 years.
This is what I would do. First of all, you do not stop taking your prescriptions on your own. You know, go to your doctor who should know about this report. That's one of the reasons the FDA is now starting. I think they're listening to this program, Randy, because we come down pretty hard on them. But one of the reasons why is that, you know, they're starting to get more information out. But if your doctor doesn't know about it, or even if he does, then he should be talking to you about it. But tell him, just say, hey, I saw this report about the FDA, and here's some possible side effects and complications on this. What do you think? Is there anything better out there on the market? And, you know, let's see what he would say.
Well, actually, it's a female doctor. I asked them a long time ago. They keep stressing to me. It's, you know, my blood, the INR ProTime, my blood needs to be between 2.00 up to 3.00 is the normal range.
And what's it normally hit?
I just had it tested. It was 2.86.
Well, that's good. Now, without the medication, what happens to it?
If I don't take the medication, my blood gets too thin.
Okay.
It can be too thick. I mean, I've had it up to 4.25. I had it down all the way down to 86.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's you know, the vitamin K is something I have to stay away from. We'll be taking this drug for the rest of my life. I didn't know if you were aware, but warfarin is rat poison.
I did not know that.
Yes, sir. It is.
So you're taking rat poison?
That's what warfarin coumadin is. It's rat poison.
God, I didn't know that.
Well, everybody learns something new every day.
I assume in little doses.
Very little doses. I take 7.5 milligram. That's one pill per day. I usually take it in the morning. And Mooncat, my wife here, Kathleen, she She is, make sure I take it every day.
Well, definitely, Randy, call your doctor, tell him about this FDA report, and, you know, just for your own peace of mind, I would do that. I would do that. I got to take a few more calls before the break. Let's go to the Abyss Hotline. Kenny in Florida, you're on Coast to Coast. So did you look into the Abyss, Kenny? And I trust you didn't go into it, huh?
No, sir, I didn't. George, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thanks.
This is the greatest show on earth, and I pray for you and Alex Jones every night because y'all really stick your neck out for us.
Yeah, we do.
Anyway, alcoholism runs in my family, and about 20 years ago, I was in my late 20s, I guess. My brother was in his mid-30s, and he got to drinking so bad he ended up committing suicide.
Oh, gosh.
And I remember going to the funeral and looking at him in the casket, and right, you know, I had to make a choice because my drinking was out of control, too.
You might have been looking at yourself if you had kept it up.
It was almost like he saved my life, you know, as crazy as it sounds. But even crazier than that, I quit drinking for 14 years and 9 months and then went back out again for about a year. You know, I'm sober now. I've been sober about 4 years now.
Again. When you went back, was it a binge? Constant?
No, when I went back, I had the flu, and I talked myself into getting a half a pint of Jim Beam, and I drank that okay. And then the next night, you know.
You did it again.
Right. And then it was, you know, the losing hours and drinking for 2 days nonstop, you know.
Yeah, well.
But it's a serious problem in this country. That
Stay out of the Abyss, Kenny.
They need to quit putting that stuff on race cars, you know, kids. You know, I never thought I'd see Jim Beam and Jack Daniels on a race car. They took Winston cigarettes away for crying out loud.
Yeah,
you know?
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. All right, stay strong.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay, next up, let's go to Melinda in Alaska. You're on Coast to Coast. Hey, Melinda, how are you?
No, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. So do you love your governor? Is she good?
Oh, she's amazing. We are so proud of her. It's just like this incredible dream that came true, and I think all of us thought we knew it would happen at one time, like her husband said, but we didn't know it happened so fast. So we're kind of in shock, but we're watching every day on the news, and I know that she won't let us down. She is an amazing woman.
It's going to be an interesting race now.
Exactly. You know, and it makes people very, you know, it brings an excitement into the race. Somebody new, something completely different that, you know, I mean, it sparks people's interest, and people need to be involved.
Well, and the important thing is, though these candidates, all of them, may not be the best that we could have brought forth. You know, we've got a lot of people that say we're going to vote for none of the above. I think all of them have our best interests at heart. How they get to it, and let's hope they stay untainted. But I do think at least we're going to have a choice from a couple groups of folks who care more about Americans than what's been going on.
That's exactly right. You know, we do have a choice, and we have something that's different. And, you know, I don't know if I totally agree with it. Every politician or everyone that's running the race has our best interests. I certainly pray that they do. But, you know, I mean, it's just these change of events have been unbelievable.
Anyways, were you calling about Sarah Palin, or did you have something else?
No, actually, I wanted to call about the Palladians.
Okay, hold on, because we're going to hit the break, and I'll come right back to you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, if you're not a member of Streamlink yet, you might want to go to the coasttocoastam.com website and sign up. You get some podcasts and downloads of past programs, and we're working on some new things. Now, one of the things I'm going to suggest to the powers that be that work on that for us is you've been able to get downloads of the past 90 days and then a couple classic programs when we put them on the line for you. I want to be able to get you access to almost everything. So I'm going to start working on that. Lex is going to take that project and bend some arms, and let's see if we can get that done in the not-too-distant future for you. So, Melinda in Alaska, you want to talk about the Pleiadians, who are out there 420 light years away.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, your guest tonight was talking about the Pleiadians Edward Meyer.
Billy. Yeah, yep, that's right. Edward's his first name.
Edward. Okay. Well, Mr. Meyer, Billy, it's amazing because I had to call in. I have this book in front of me. It's UFO Contact from the Pleiades, and it's Volume 1. And I was introduced to this book, and I don't know where it came from. It was in my house. I don't know who got it. I never found out. But at any rate, so it's like 30 years old, and he's talking about the Pleiadians, and I think that maybe there might be a couple points or specific things that you know, I know that he was short on time, and the things that I thought that was important that I got out of this book, because it's absolutely amazing.
What did you get out of it?
Well, I think that it's actually, you know, genuine. Just the way it's introduced, yeah, I think that the book is very well laid out, and it's got amazing photos in it, and they did...
Does he have pictures of some of those who have come to him?
No.
Sketches?
Well, just the spaceships.
Oh, okay, know? Okay.
And so, you know, like a Type 1, I think. I could be an error, but... and then, like, these smaller aircraft that did more kind of... what do they call that? Recon or whatever. You
recon,
know what I mean?
That's good.
And then you know, he told them that I'm going to be coming back with this new spaceship, and it's way different. I think it was a Type 5. But anyway, the photos are amazing. And what I got out of this book was that all the civilizations from way back and in multiple different, all the ancient civilizations had referred to the Pleiadians in every... You know, the introduction
mm-hmm.
of, you know, this is like our forefathers, basically. And they look like us. You know, I think that's kind of unique. And they're supposed to be...
Or you mean we look like them?
Well, they you know...
I think they came first, right?
Well, actually... Thank you. yeah, we look alike, but yeah, they absolutely came first. And...
Pita, by the way, the picture that I see of him all the time looks identical to the late George Carlin.
Nah, you know, that's funny. He does.
Yep.
Very, very similar, doesn't he? And, you know, it's amazing about the semiotzi, and I think it's really very awesome. I didn't know for the longest time that semiotzi is a woman.
Right.
You know, and she's a cosmonaut, and they go into some kind of a no time, no space, and it takes them, you know, a while to get here. But they got to be conditioned and trained and everything else.
Well, if you had a chance to meet Billy Meier and ask him one question, just one, what would it be?
What does it feel like? Did you drive, or were you a co-pilot or a navigator?
you know, sounds like you would go, Melinda, if they came and got you, wouldn't you?
No, absolutely.
They'd take you away. Hey, thanks for the call. Moving along, let's go to Larry in Wyoming. Hi, Larry.
Hello. I've been listening to a lot of strange, interesting programs on your show and loving the heck out of it. But the thing that got me going a lot was, you know, a lot of the talk about the 2012 and everything.
Right.
And I was watching a show probably about 2 weeks ago now on CNN. It was a three-program series they had dealing with God's warriors. And it talked about, like, the hardcore Jewish groups that want to rebuild the Temple Mount and
right,
all this.
Right.
And then the the Muslim extremists who are looking to try to get the 12th Imam back. And then all the Christian fundamentalists who are trying to help hurry up the second coming. And tying it in with a lot of the stuff that I've been listening to on your shows.
It's kind of remarkable, isn't it, Larry?
It's got me spooked.
Yeah, I know.
And this gal that McCain's gotten for a vice presidential candidate, I was reading an article actually in the paper today, our local paper from last Thursday, and it was talking about a speech that she had made at, where was it?
And what'd she say?
The speech. She said that she felt that the Iraq war was a task that is from God.
Hmm.
And this was at the her church that she had been a member of. And also goes on to say that praying for the $30 billion natural gas pipeline that she wants to put across Alaska is God's will. Now, I'm definitely not a Christian. I have nothing against a Christian. But I firmly believe in the old adage, God save us from you fundamentalists. You know? And I'm just worried that these people, especially if we get this lady in there and anybody else, they're going to get the idea that they can just run rampant and do whatever they want to, kind of like Cheney and Bush did by lying to us and getting us into the war just so they can speed up the second coming.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if she would do that, Larry. But in terms of, do they tell us one thing before the election and something after? Yeah, maybe. I tell a joke, which I'm not going to say now, at some of these speeches I go to that has to do with the politician who dies. And he comes back, and well, that's a long joke, but you got to trust them. But so far, not many of them have given us the track record to trust them, have they? Next up, let's go to you, Angela in New York. Hey, Angela.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You ready for some incredible rain?
Well, one thing that is coming up the coast is your show. I'm picking it up from North Carolina.
It's all over the place.
Well, we don't get it in New York on Friday night.
No, Friday nights they run an infomercial.
Yeah, yeah. I wish they didn't. But anyway, usually I have to struggle to pull you in from CKLW Detroit. But tonight I'm getting you pretty clear from North Carolina.
Well, that's good.
But what I wanted to talk to you about, though, is I wanted to suggest that you do a more lengthy show about some of the herbal cancer cures, such as Essiac and Hoxie's tea.
Well, I did a whole show on Hoxie. You missed it, I bet. That must have been about 6 months ago.
You know, I did hear something about Hoxie, but I didn't hear anything about Essiac.
No, I didn't do anything on that. I do an alternative medicine show probably once every 3 months with different topics. Like I just did one on aspartame.
Yes,
I've got one I'm working on fluoride. So we've done things like that. And so we'll probably do one on cancer.
Okay, great, because my neighbor is an herbalist, and he's had a lot of experience. Bellevue recommends patients to him.
Send me an email about that, would you?
Okay, great,
okay.
Sure.
All right, very good. Let's go to our next wildcard line. You are on Coast to Coast, Janesville, Ohio. Hi there.
Hey, welcome to Coast AM, and first-time caller line, we have George from L.A.
Yes, we do.
So what do you want to talk about tonight, George?
Whatever is on my mind.
So what's on your mind tonight?
That life is good.
Life is good? So what gives you the reason to believe that?
I don't know. But let's reverse it. How about you?
Not really too much. I just thought we'd call you up and give you a chance to answer a few questions for one.
Well, my radio's turned up too loud.
Your radio's turned up too loud? Well, I turned off my stream link to make sure it didn't.
I love it. Almost. You got to prepare me next time, and then you can interview me at depth.
Hey, I might actually do that. I host a college radio station talk show, so maybe one of these days I'll call you up.
Hey, you got a deal.
Okay, I'll get back with you then.
Okay,
hey,
you got it.
I'm George.
Okay, next up, let's go to the Abyss line. Daniel in Phoenix, you're on the air with us. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good.
I talked to you, actually, night of the 4th of July. I was working, and I talked to you about some demons we encountered in Mexico on a mission trip. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember the mission trip, right.
Yeah.
I don't remember your name, but I remember the trip.
No problem. I guess what I wanted to talk to you about was, first of all, let me explain what I consider the abyss. And what I consider that in this day and age is living in willful ignorance, almost to the point of bliss, where you know the kind of people who... They don't want to know what's going on. They don't want to know the conspiracy theories. They just want to live their lives, pay their bills, you know, have their parties. Do you know those kind of people, George?
Yeah, but, you know, I don't fault anybody for how they want to live.
Oh, no, not at all. And I think some people, you know, stuff will be revealed to them later. And right now, they should just worry about taking care of their families and this crazy economy. And I don't judge them at all for that.
You know, sometimes I tell people just to create an island to themselves, and maybe that's the best way to survive.
Maybe it's true. So I guess that leads into the story. And I guess at this point, actually yesterday, just yesterday, so this is a perfect topic. It just happened in my life. I have a spiritual counselor. I'm actually a Christian, but I don't know if I'd consider myself fundamental. Like, some people label me as a Christian mystic. I'm very into alternative theories and things like that. Mm-hmm. But a few years ago, I just started getting this feeling that I've had since I was little, but it became really strong a few years ago, that something's going on. There's something strong and something very, very important that's going to be happening in my lifetime. And what's strange is I like to break down numbers sometimes. And I took my birth date and I actually added it together, and it added up to the age 21. And that's what I'm going to be turning this year. And ironically enough, my birthday's 10/9/87. October 9, 1987. If you look at it numerically, it counts down 10/9/87, you know, and then 6/5/4/3/2/1. It's like a countdown, and that was just really strange to me. And as soon as I started listening to your show and listening to people like Alex Jones and just getting some alternative information, things started to fall into place. I started to realize that these things that everyone's feeling could very well be happening right now.
Well, you're in the groove now, Daniel. You've found it, so stay in it.
Oh, yes, for sure. And so I was meeting with my spiritual counselor yesterday, and I had an opportunity to explain this to him. I kind of kept it to myself. I'd been just analyzing, figuring out what I believe. And he wanted to meet with me and talk to me about what he felt like, you know, God is doing in my life. And I had the choice. I had the choice to stay in the abyss and just go about my life, or to come out with it and just tell him. I'm a youth counselor. He's actually the youth pastor, so he's kind of my mentor.
Right.
And I told him, I said, you know, these are the things that are happening in the world, and I feel like there's a big conviction for everyone to start taking precautions and preparing for what's coming and you know, to kind of fight the evil that's going on. And he automatically started shooting me down, which is strange. He's a very good listener. He usually just sits. He'll listen to you for hours.
Why did he shoot you down?
Because I think he's been brought up to really reject ideas like that, the conspiracy theories. And
maybe he doesn't want to believe it. Maybe.
I think so, yes. And what was that? Sorry.
He could be afraid.
I think he is. And it was so strange because I had never taken that side of a conversation with him where I'm defending myself. Usually we have wonderful conversations, but I just told him, you know, and I had to make the choice, you know, do I just let go and, you know, take the blue pill and as in the Matrix, you know, that's exactly what it reminded me of. Or do I kind of accept this persecution and I'm just going to come out with it? We're starting a magazine here in Phoenix called Wake Up, and it's going to have information like this about, you know, world government, about spiritual things, a lot like your show, actually. And we're just trying to get people to start thinking for themselves, you know, and I know in doing this, I'm going to be, you know, coming away from the abyss, and I'm going to be kind of putting myself out there on a limb, and I might get kicked off the youth staff because I don't know if the parents will.
Well, you may. You may be too radical, Daniel, but you got to do what your heart tells you to do. And when you had mentioned numbers, Thursday night, Glynis McCants will be on the show, along with the Merlin folks, Paul Gersio and George Hart. And we're going to be talking and analyzing the combinations of the presidential and vice presidential candidates. All of you over the last month or so, they've been wanting Glynis on for sure to analyze the numbers of everybody. Well, we're going to do that Thursday night. Let's move on to wild card line number 4. Nadine in New Jersey. Hi there.
Hello, George. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Last night you mentioned that you have bad days sometimes. And
yeah, we all do. We're human.
I know we are. And I'm calling tonight because I want your opinion on something.
Sure.
I am really actually quite worried about the CERN experiment in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are.
And in fact, by profession, I'm a threat assessment individual where you analyze threats and the probabilities and with higher rank. And in this, with all that's going on in the world right now, between the weather, the economy, Putin, and other factors that are factored in, this one is just not covered. You're not really getting much information about it. You're not really hearing about it in the press. But this week you've had some extraordinary people. And I was just interested if you had heard, particularly in your seminars, any feedback about this, because truthfully, I am concerned about this.
There is a handful of people seriously concerned about the probability of what will happen when they turn that on. I'll tell you what concerns me. As you know, they had a breakdown a few months ago when one of their huge magnets broke off because they had a mathematical equation problem and they missed it. They made a mistake.
Right.
Well, when you make a mistake, that to me is a red flag. And that tells me, well, maybe they don't know everything that they know. So how can they be so adamant and say, don't expect anything to go wrong when they already screwed up and something did go wrong?
Well, who's doing this? This is Japanese that's funding this primarily?
No, these are just a consortium of countries and scientists that have done this. And there are now two lawsuits trying to prevent it, one
right.
here in this country, another in Europe. I don't think it's going to stop them from turning it on. I think it's fascinating that there are some physicists out there who truly believe that the black holes that almost everyone agrees will be made, they believe that it's going to eat this planet from within or just suck it right in. It's just a bizarre story, but they're real physicists, and they don't want this to happen, and they're concerned about it.
I think Art Bell spoke about this even 2 years ago in that same conference.
Oh, yeah, they've been building this for a long time.
But I just don't understand the trajectory of this. Is this in going into the Earth, or is it?
Well, the collider is well under the Earth.
Right.
And so what they're going to do is they're going to smash a couple particles together and try to see what happens. And in that smashing, and I'm just trying to say this is the best way I understand it, in this smashing, that's when the problem can happen.
Well, again, I'm more of an optimist, but there's just something about this that just instinctively makes me feel very uncomfortable.
Well, you know, there was that possibility when they set off the atomic bomb in the experiments and tests. They thought for a moment they could explode the atmosphere. And they did some calculations, and they said, no, there's a high probability it won't happen. But there was that little tiny chance that it could.
Right.
They went ahead and did it anyway. Nothing happened, but you know, the rest is history. My gosh, we're already at the top of the hour. We'll be back in a moment. Another hour plus of Open Lines to Go on Coast to Coast AM.